You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
And a very warm welcome back to Solidarity Breakfast.
A left response to the major developments in capitalism.
What they trade in is not wheat. They trade in famine.
A little dose of revolutionary optimism.
I think it's really important to sort of express solidarity globally.
It really is a deal by corporations for corporations.
The union forever defending our rights, down with the black leg.
If you think the ABC's left wing, don't listen to this program.
Solidarity Breakfast, 7:30 to 9 a.m. Saturdays, 3CR, 8:55 a.m. Streaming and 3CR digital, podcast or audio on demand. And of course, the website, solidaritybreakfast.org.au.
Solidarity forever!
Good morning, everybody. Annie here. G'day, Tobias. You're here early.
We did. We walked in through a balmy morning.
Yeah, I know. And what about you, Anila?
I'm so excited for Radiothon.
Yay!
It's the best week of the year.
Yay! And hopefully people will join Paul Rayner, who gave us $20 towards our total, and Gab Reed. G'day, Gab. $20 as well. Thank you very much. And we've got a variety of other people who are bound to want to ring in and give us money. And where do they ring?
They ring on 9419 8377. If you want to get, and you can leave us a little message, you can drop us some money and leave us a little bit of a message, or you can do it online at 3cr.org.au.
That's right. Donate.
Donate.
Yeah, make sure that you put in Solidarity Breakfast. We've got to make $2,000 of a $300,000 target for the wonderful 3CR, keeping 3CR live and kicking for another 50 years. Just a reminder that there's a birthday party for the 50 years for 3CR on July the 4th at Collingwood Town Hall. You should come because I'm inviting you. Okay, we've got lots of things. Usually we talk about all the things that are going on in the world. We heard last night that Pauline Hanson's One Nation had to move its fundraising event from Moonee Ponds because the Moonee Ponds people just reviled them.
Yeah, and instead they were hosted by the South Melbourneites. That's your people, Annie.
Oh, disgraceful, disgraceful. And it was funny because the Channel 7 were already there. They knew, so they're obviously in the
nice
pack.
Little PR stunt.
Yeah, a little PR stunt with a whole range of public money being put in behind the coppers to stand there in their very expensive, flash, publicly paid for uniforms to make us look like they're all going to war
against us. And just think, all your tax dollars are going to pay that, which if you spent any dollars over $2, that's all tax deductible that you can donate to 3CR.
That's
and
right.
Keep the lights on. So
that was a beautiful segue, Toby.
Decide which way you'd love to spend your money. Would you like to buy stupid cop helmets or keep the lights on here, keep all these language programs, keep all these community programs on?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And keep Solidarity Breakfast, which has a long and proud history. It's gone from many different permutations. Now it's landed on a highly political politics with your Wheaties, which is what Bill used to call it, Bill Della, a politics with your Wheaties. And I thought it'd be good if when we do our fundraiser and did our T-shirt, we put politics with your Wheaties on it. But then again, Wheaties is probably a copyrighted name, right?
Well, maybe we'll spell it differently.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I think that's obviously very amusing, Annie, but I'd like to become a bit more earnest for a moment and say that beyond all of the beautiful services that 3CR provides to the community in terms of sharing news that doesn't really get shared anywhere else, it's also providing this amazing service behind the scenes of training up people for radio work, for media work, for journalism in ways that isn't being done anywhere else. Like Toby and I, we both were trained on Solidarity Breakfast. This is where we learnt the craft. And that's something you can't find anywhere else. It's a really important part of community radio, those skills being retained in the community.
Yeah, it's interesting because there was a Radiothon ad a CSA when I was waiting for us to start, and it was from the voices from the past, talking about exactly as you were saying, democratizing the airwaves, which was what was going on. It's easy for people to forget that in the past that all the voices that were on commercial and ABC airwaves were all very, pseudo English pretend accents, and just having people who have their normal voice speaking was a radical thing to do. And people have forgotten that in the past, women were supposed to have too squeaky a voice to be allowed to be on the airwaves. Which is also something that needs to be taken into account. I mean, more than half the population were not allowed to have a voice on the mic.
And the important part as well is the community language programs that are offered here are offered nowhere else in the format they're offered here.
Well, the politics.
That's right.
That's what's important about the language programs here. People are actually allowed to speak politics.
And offer something different to the community, that to their own communities and to people that are interested in hearing about local issues on the ground in other countries that aren't going to get it through the mainstream media filter.
I think this is a great moment to remind people how they can donate. You can call 0394198377 to donate. You can text through a nice little message for us at 0488 809 855, or go to the 3CR website, 3cr.org/donate to donate .au. To .au. That's important to include. We are in Australia, if anyone has forgotten. please be generous. It's our birthday this year.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
For the month of June, we're asking listeners to donate to the station to help keep us going. We rely on the generous donations of the community to survive. Go to 3cr.org.au and show your support for community-owned and community-run media.
And we've got Con McNaughton on the line. G'day, Con, friend of the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. I thought you weren't going to answer. It's live radio, man.
Like some of you, just waking up.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Tell us, you're part of Blackbird Enterprises, and it's one of the sorts of things that a program like Solidarity Breakfast would follow up, because you are disseminating interesting political viewpoints.
Well, I hope so.
So, tell us a little bit about
we're doing it, among other things. I mean, one of the things we're doing is a strategy course. Because I would suggest that the left, for probably three or so decades now, largely has no strategy, has no vision, and has no ability to be strategic. We're caught in a tactical hell. And like, you look what's going on in the world, and what's the left really offering in terms of alternatives? I mean, unfortunately, it's very, very sad. There's no, like, serious left project that's transformative. Unfortunately, we've given that away. Most of what we understand about change and transformation to the far right. The discussions around class are not happening necessarily around the trade union movement or in the left. They're actually coming from the far right in the US, in Britain, and in Australia, although in Britain slightly from the Greens. But, yeah, so we're in a very, very deep trouble. So what I try to do in the strategy course is over 8 weeks, and we're exploring, because people use this word decolonization, and often what they mean by it is everyone individually will decolonize. Now, that's quite bonkers and not going to go anywhere, especially if you want to engage structures. So I look at things like Vietnam, the Vietnam War, and how they defeated the Americans, where, you know, it was 80 million people were involved in that process of decolonizing or trying to get rid of, firstly, the Japanese and the French, and then the Americans. So this idea that, that decolonization is an individual project is, I think, totally silly. But also that the left has largely forgotten how to win. We don't know how to fight battles and win. We actually are very good at losing. And then what we've done, instead of looking outwards and engaging millions of people, we're actually looking inwards and trying to find perfection amongst each other. So how do we break out of these cycles? And I'm not saying we should be horrible people, but I'm just saying the focus is all a bit mad. So what, and also the context we're in is changing rapidly with, you know, climate change, et cetera.
So, well, you know, you bring up Vietnam, the US war on Vietnam, which is quite interesting because it is a pivotal moment in the politicisation of whole sections of the Australian community in their own interests against a very strong promotional activity from the Conservatives to say that to be an Australian citizen, you should be militaristic and follow the rules. So for that to have actually had an effect to undermine that incredible level of oppression was pretty significant. It's possible. That's the point.
Yeah, exactly. And the other part of the Vietnam War too is that's what led from the American shift in terms of their economics from Keynesianism to neoliberalism. Is one of the main, the debt and the loss of that loss of that war, what it meant in terms of empire. So it was the beginning of the end for the US empire, which we're now in the final throes. Trumpism is part of that empire declining. So how do we, can we actually bring the imagination into the left? Because a lot of what we're doing is quite just rehashing what's been done for 20 or 30 or even 100 years. We're not actually imagining new possibilities, even though the context has changed, where people are at has changed, where young people are at in terms of the impact of phones, the impact it's had on how people see themselves, because they're very much in social bubbles. They don't necessarily have to engage with people they disagree with. So these are all massive questions about how do you create a project of transformation or social change. But that's what we're trying to do in the course.
Well, on that note, what kind of role do you think, it's our special radiothon edition of the show, what kind of role do you think community radio plays in creating that transformational change?
Well, of course, I mean, a big part of all this is that, you know, even just today, Murdoch's putting Hansen's politics on the front page and Jenna Reinhart. So those that own the means of communication have a significant say. So, again, as I'm sure everyone there well knows, the left is, you know, fairly small and doesn't have that sort of, well, now we have trillionaires in the world, but what the billionaires are able to do in terms of, you know, swaying people's thoughts and concerns to actually fit their agendas. And I'm thinking of Murdoch particularly, but it's not just Murdoch. It's all the different forms of media. Even the ABC has been sort of routed from within by the Murdoch press. And you know, their major leaders are all ex-Murdoch people. So
yeah, that's exactly right. Before we move on, tell people quickly how they can join your strategic class. How can they be part of it?
Well, you can look on Instagram. You can look up Singing Blackbird Enterprises, or you can just look up, you know, Introduction to Strategic Thinking course. It's all over, you know, the social media. So, but yeah, you can sign up. It goes over 8 weeks. It's happening at NIBS at Trades Hall, one of the rooms in Trades Hall, we hope.
When does it start?
What's that?
When does it start?
It starts on July 30th.
July 30th. And the other thing is, before we kick you off, are you going to donate to our radiothon?
And not only will I donate, I'm thinking of coming to the 50th party as well.
Oh, yeah, good on you, mate. All right. Okay.
So I used to do Stick Together programs for 4 or 5 years, so...
Yeah, that's beautiful. Right.
Beautiful. 3CR alumni, Stick Together alumni, thanks so much for coming on the program, Coleman.
Exactly. Thank you.
We look forward to projecting the sounds of the underground through you, through the radio.
Beautiful.
3CR celebrating 50 years.
Throughout the month of June, we're asking you to support fierce, independent and community-controlled media by making a donation to our radiothon.
We'll be taking donations online, over the phone and in the station to help keep 3CR going for another year.
To donate, go to 3cr.org.au, call the station on 03 9419 8377
or drop in at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during business hours.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
And we've got the wonderful Vivian Langford on the line. G'day, Vivian. How are you?
Hi, Annie. Good, thanks.
Oh, it's great to hear your voice. We've been so honoured on Solidarity Breakfast to have your reports for Voices for Palestine. Can you give our listeners a little bit of an understanding of the work you've been doing?
Oh, yes. I never thought it would go on so long. So I'm very grateful to you to really chronicle this. You know, this is a historic thing, this movement. I don't know how much longer it's going to go on. There'll be some, you know, resolution happening. But truly, it's been massive, this turnout of people in Sydney, I know in Melbourne, all over the world as well. But I was able to be there with my microphone and recorded. And it's just fascinating how it's developed and the sort of sense of solidarity. That's why I like the name of your program, Solidarity. I come back to it every day, thinking about it, if only more people understood the essential nature of it, you know, the loyalty to each other and just turning up. And this, what I've witnessed there is massive. It's, I started off with these, standing in the crowd. I had a Jewish friend who was going to speak, and I thought I'll stand there, and I noticed all these women like myself, older women, crying and just standing there with tears rolling down their face. And meanwhile, the political class, you know, the premier and so on, they were all saying on the radio, don't go there, this is not a family-friendly event, this will end up in rioting. And indeed, this year we did have a riot, practically. Not us, but the police caused a riot in February when the government invited President Herzog from Israel to come here. So I've witnessed all of that, these, you know, hot days. That day was extremely sweltering. I was pouring bottles of water over my head just to keep cool. And then the police sort of attacked all the people in George Street. But then other days we've been standing in pouring rain. But those people, the Palestinian and generally Middle Eastern people, Lebanese people, just turn out and turn out and turn out. And they've had this great solidarity themselves with Aboriginal people. It's always very much in everybody's consciousness. Even people with very broken English, they say, we see that this project, you know, in Israel is the same sort of imperial project that happened here and is happening still here. And last week they had one of the people I know from the climate movement, because I'm mostly interested in climate action, and they, Zach Schofield spoke, and he's from Rising Tide. He's one of the organisers there, and they've kept that thing getting bigger and bigger every year, just trusting that eventually the people power will prevail. And they've shown a great deal of solidarity with the Palestinian people, and Zach Schofield actually went off on the flotilla last month. And
yeah, there is a big connections. And in fact, we're going to play your piece from last week with Zach Schofield from Rising Tide. It's followed by a story by Gemma O'Toole, who was also on the Samud Flotilla, and it finishes with Ibrahim Lamer. Interesting, people would have noticed on Instagram Ibrahim Bob's story, but we'll leave the event in Hyde Park to speak this talk.
But before then, just to say how special it is that you're on the program live, how much we appreciate all the work that you've done and how much of an integral part of the program you've become. To have a Vivian Langford piece every week has been really special and just shows the type of community radio that 3CR is, connecting up the country in a way that no other radio program does, and giving voice to all these people, and just to say that you're an integral part of that, and thank you for it.
Well, I'd like to thank you also, and because it's the birthday for 3CR, I'd like to thank 3CR for solidarity with me. And one day I was in the crowd and Pilar came out, a 3CR personality. She came out of the crowd and I didn't know her, and she just, you know, embraced me and thanked me and told me how much they like it. And I thought, wow, there's no one meeting Sydney. This was, I was gobsmacked, but it was so nice that she recognised me. And then someone else, I've been saying for ages, look, I don't know these, I'm here, I look like this anonymous person from ASIO in a black outfit with a microphone. People must wonder who I am. And I've been saying this in my family, but they laugh at me. You know, they just think it's mum's funny little thing that I do, you know, climate lawyers. How can I'm not King Canute, I can't stop climate. They just think I'm just a joke. But my daughter-in-law at Christmas gave me a little jacket, you know, from Bunnings, a fluoro jacket with community radio written in huge letters across the back.
Oh, that's sweet.
I wear that. So there's a bit of solidarity spreading, and you really show it. And I remember, Annie, you also
panelled for me occasionally when I was suddenly desperate for someone to panel, and you'd say, I'll do it.
See, we're all in it together.
That's right.
Thanks for talking to us this morning, Vivian, and we'll play your piece. And don't forget that if you want to donate to 3CR's Radiothon and Solidarity Breakfast in particular, give us a call on 9419 8377. People will answer your call. We're a real-life handmade radio here.
Good afternoon, comrades. It's good to be together, I think. It's a really bittersweet moment, I think, for us. I have to say that out of all of the people on the flotilla, I think I was one of those who got away with not all that much abuse, partly because of luck and partly because of who I am. But the fact is that we left many people behind, nearly 10,000 Palestinian prisoners in torture camps, similar to and worse than the Ketziyat prison that we experienced. And I don't want to talk to you about that today. I want to talk about coordination and courage. Because here in the year that we sit, nearly 3 years into this genocide, Australia still not only calls Israel a friend, but The Shot, the independent news publication, has just proven that we send them not only the F-35 parts, not only the steel from Bisalloy, not only the political support in the UN, but we send them explosives. Raw explosive material used to murder civilians. Not just in Palestine, but in Lebanon, in Iran. And we know that they've got their sights set on Egypt and Turkey and Jordan and the entire region, because it is an imperialist colonial project which requires expansion at its core, at the expense of their neighbours. Now, the flotilla for me was the first time I'd ever experienced such international cooperation, and it was a truly transformational experience for me to see all of these people from nearly 100 countries come together in an effort of such logistical complexity and cooperation and coordination required across the entire Mediterranean Sea. That power is transformational to experience. The relationships developed between people from all corners of the world, I think, is a model of resistance against something of this power. Really, I do. From people such as us who come from core outposts of empire, like Australia, to folks from West Asia, folks from Turkey who knew that they were walking into a situation of more brutality than most of us because of the geopolitics of the region, from the Malaysian delegation, whose government supported them financially to go over, 40 Malaysian activists, many of them skilled doctors, paramedics, to see the different textures of people coming together was transformational. And that's what I want to talk about, is that coordination, right? Because we've been witnessing this genocide for nearly 3 years. It's been going on since 1948. And it's one aspect of what I've been coming to understand is a global war against humanity, right? The forces of wealth, the forces of empire, they come after us as well in our own lives. We're just not at the front line. You look at Waterloo, you look at what's happening to the public housing estates, you look at what's happening to our grocery bills, what's happening to the NDIS, the fact that we're giving hundreds of billions of dollars to the US for some secondhand submarines that might not exist, that are only worth it for the US to wage a war on China. We are all experiencing empire. We're just not on the front line. And Palestinians are. Palestine is the front line of this global war against humanity. It's where the AI kill chains are being tested that will come back to us when there's enough dissent on the ground here. It's where the bombs are being tested. It's where the thermobaric munitions are being tested. It's where the brutalization of the IOF soldiers is being perfected to make people do unspeakable horrors and get away with it. And our coordination is really important, because we don't have money, we have people. They've got money. Money can buy people and people can donate money, but there's only two sources of power in the world as far as I'm concerned, and it's money and people. And we need together and work together and head in the right direction together. And it was such a privilege to be part of a direct action where everyone just got stuck in and did what was required. So, for me, that requires courage of two sorts. It requires the material courage to face whatever the consequences may be that your opponent is willing to bring down upon you. And I think it, you know, it did take some courage, but I think that's required and I don't think it's extraordinary. Many people around the world have faced worse situations and taken it head on. That's what Samud is, right? It's resilience in the face of the horror and the fact that we had Palestinian comrades coming with us on the flotilla directly into the face of the IOF, knowing what could happen to them, is beyond any of the courage that I saw among any of my other comrades. It's extraordinary and a model for all of us. The other sort of courage is the courage to work together, because working together is hard. It requires compromise, it requires patience, it requires grace, it requires an acknowledgement that we are all imperfect people. No matter what our politics may be, we're all imperfect people. We're difficult sometimes. And sometimes we're annoying. And sometimes we don't do things the way that our friends want us to do them. But we need to work together regardless. And I didn't really have an idea about how successful a flotilla could be until we got out the other side and saw all of the work that you folks on the ground and our teams back in our home countries had been doing to amplify the message and to use the moment to the best of our ability. We haven't ended Zionism overnight, but I think we've struck a pretty good blow. So, the state election in New South Wales is coming up next year, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that New South Wales Labor is a genuine threat to democracy.
Who are we going to vote? Who are we going
to
vote for?
I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, but there are some alternatives out there, right? Who come to these rallies, you know who they are. You know who they are, but the fact is that New South Wales Labor is a threat to democracy. They've instituted under Chris Minns the most repressive anti-protest laws, frankly, in the Western hegemony in the last couple of years. And they're still prosecuting people who are arrested under those laws that have been deemed unconstitutional. You know, they consistently brutalize people on the streets. They defend the police who do that. I say anecdotally that a friend of mine who was at one of the Solidarity rallies got into a conversation with an AFP officer, not that I ever recommend doing that, but that officer said to him, watch out for the New South Wales police, they're rabid dogs. So when your own police colleagues know that about you, I don't know if it's any cops here, but I've seen the light in some of your colleagues' eyes when they were chasing us down George Street and they fucking loved it. This is a government who endorses this conduct, right? I just want to point out the Waterloo encampment. If you don't know about it, I think you should get down there and support, because New South Wales Labor made a promise that they wouldn't tear down public housing, explicitly campaigned to those people, and then now are going and doing it. That's a pain point for them. That's a pressure point. And I think we need to campaign on that as well. But the point is that the state election is coming up. New South Wales Labor is a threat to democracy. They are on the back foot, because while Ed Husic is, you know, I'm not going to give him any credit, he should have come out way earlier and probably not been in Labor to begin with. But him and Penny Wong are starting to have to wind their words back. They're starting to have to say, not because they're good people, but because we're forcing them to have to say, that maybe there should be a red line about Israel's conduct. Maybe we shouldn't give F-35 parts. This is what Ed Husic's saying. Penny Wong is saying that she believes the women of the flotilla who, I know, she's saying it because we are forcing her to acknowledge that. We are forcing her to acknowledge that through our power. It's not an indicator of their quality or whether we should trust them. It's an indicator of our power.
Power and, to the people!
Yeah. And we need to press these points as far as we can, because we are not radical. Yeah. The position that we hold, an anti-genocide position, an anti-imperial position, a position that puts people's lives before profit, is not a radical position. It's the way the world should run.
Yeah.
And the more we claim that ground, the more we claim the moral position, the middle position, and say, this is reasonable, we are desperately, desperately reasonable in our positions, and we need to do everything within our power collectively to make that the world that we live in. That's where our power lies. I reckon we can do it. This is one step along that journey, and you're all here as part of it. Thank you so much. We'll see you on the streets.
Hello. I feel very honoured to be here on Gadigal land. I could tell you a lot about a lot of really horrendous things that happened to me, or even worse things that I saw happening to other people. art, I just wanted to tell you this quick story that was really lovely when it happened and brings me a lot of peace now. On the warship that half of us were transported on, the warship that we now understand to have had far, far better treatment than the other one. On the second day after the first night, the Muslims had been praying all of their 5 daily prayers since we got onto the warship, and they were doing so even through the constant threats of being shot. And on the second day that we were there, we heard the call to prayer, and it was sometime in the middle of the day, I don't know, because we were on a warship, so I had no concept of the time there. And all of the people who are not Muslim were invited to come and pray. And we were told by this beautiful young Muslim man to come and stand next to someone who is Muslim and prays often so we would know what to do. And 150 of us stood in the middle of the warship and we prayed together. And we did so while the beautiful man leading the prayer had the laser on his head, the green laser with the gun pointed at him. And I think about that often because there is such strength. And we were led to that place by these beautiful Muslim people who were, like, you know, just so committed to sharing that sort of, like, that sort of peace with us in that moment. And it was so beautiful. And there was so much love. And there is so much love and solidarity between us all in and amongst all the horror. And I want to thank you all for being here today.
Thank you so much. We demand that they expel the Israeli ambassador, that they end this two-way arms trade, that they cease manufacturing these explosives to be sent to Israel, and that they compel the Israeli government to end the occupation of Gaza and the West Bank. And that's the fight we're going to continue to take up through the flotillas, through our protests, and by keeping fighting. Ibrahim Muammar, better known as Bob to many of us in the Palestine movement. He's been one of the faces of our rallies in Sydney for many, many months now. He's a Lebanese-Palestinian. People might actually have seen him recently because shamefully he was harassed by the New South Wales police in an act of racism and targeted discrimination against supporters of Palestine. The police harassed Bob for driving around with Palestine flags, something that was reported in Rose Bay as suspicious. The police turned out in massive numbers then to try and intimidate him, and, you know, Bob stood his ground. But this is an example of the outrageous attempts to intimidate us, to silence our movement and our activists, and we won't let it happen. But I would like to invite Bob to the stage now.
Hi, everyone. Everyone know what's happening to me with the police. It's not right at all. But we need to remember that it's nothing compared to what's happening in Gaza and South Lebanon. The suffering, the torture, the murdering, the mother voice screaming for justice. We stand here today for Gaza and South Lebanon, for humanity, for justice, free Palestine, free South Lebanon, and always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Wondering how to pay your donation to 3CR Radiothon? It's easy. You can pay online at 3cr.org.au or call us any weekday with your credit card details on 03 9419 8377. You can also come into the station at 21 Smith Street, Fitzroy during office hours and pay by cash or card. Or simply post your cheque or money order to PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. And be sure to tell us which program you'd like your donation to go to.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
And if you want to donate, you can give us a call right now on 94190155 or on 94198377. You can join the vast army of anonymous who gave us $30 from Abbotsford. Amelia Kirk-Harkin, thank you very much.
Hey, Amelia, friend of the show.
Yeah, fabulous, Amelia, $50. And Peter Walton, who regularly listens to the program, I know, because he donated $100 and he has for a number of years. So thank you very much, Peter Walton.
And you too can join those ranks. If you call 94198377, leave us a message, leave your name. We'll shout you out on the live radio. Who does that anymore? Solidarity
right.
Breakfast does that.
Yeah, that's
3CR does that. And every donation over $2 is tax deductible.
And we're on the line. We've got a little bit of local news. Andrew Brown is on the line. He's the curator of an exhibition that's going to be on down at Mario's in Brunswick Street. 40 artists for 40 years. G'day, Andrew. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you going, guys?
Good. We're good. Tell us all about it, because I'm an old stick, so I know about when Mario's actually opened its doors. I used to take my coffee at Baker's next door, and we would, what's this interesting new development?
Yeah, well, Baker's was, you know, it was kind of an institution before Mario's became an institution. And
yeah, except that Mario's lasted the distance.
Well, that's it. I think Baker's moved down the street a bit.
That's right, and disintegrated.
And disintegrated. Anyway, look, it's 40 years. I think it was 40 years, a month or so ago, that Mario's hit that hit the 1986 when it started, and it started as a sort of, I think the Mario's wanted to do some catering after working as waiters in restaurants in the city, and they wanted to get out of working for somebody else and set up their own little business. So they found this this shopfront there with a kitchen at the back and started a little catering sort of business.
Yeah, and it was very elegant, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they sort of realised that, people are actually coming in for coffee, because they had like a little sandwich bar there and things. And so they closed for a little while and reopened as kind of the Mario's that we know today after a little renovation. And I think, you know, it's kind of, they sort of brought a little bit of that, a sort of Italian brio sort of stylish, but also kind of a retro sort of feel, waiters in, like little waistcoats and, nice table settings and things, but it also always had a kind of a raffish sort of edge. There's always kind of a wink and a nod and raised eyebrow.
You don't want your waiters to be too, not entirely rude, but at least scathing.
That's right, yeah. And a lot of them were kind of, out of work actors or, artists or writers and things. So it kind of, as a result, it sort of attracted a sort of a motley crew of local people that, moved into the area, like artists and taking over shop fronts. I'd love, upstairs, living above shops, and, this sort of gallery starting to happen. So the idea of the show was...
I know that from looking at it, in 1988, they did this wonderful thing. They actually gave their walls over to artists so that they could hang up their wares. What a great thing to do.
Yeah, well, they've been the two Marios, Di Pasquale and Macaroni. They gravitated towards the artists, and they realised this would be a great opportunity to just do these rotating shows over the years, and they've continued to do that, and not really charging commission or anything, just allowing this they work with a couple of people who give them a bit of advice and stuff, but and so. Over the years, hundreds and hundreds of artists have had shows there, every month or so. But with this show, we kind of had the idea, Mario and I were talking, this is Mario Macaroni, that we could kind of honour some of the artists who have sort of become, part of the furniture there. So that, there's been a history of, groups of, people meeting there, a bit like an artist, almost like it became an artist canteen at one point. And so what we've done is, sort of tried to identify. It's called 40 Years, 40 Artists, but I have to say that it's kind of ballooned out a little bit, because the once word goes out, suddenly there's a lot of other people, and there's a limit to.
There's only so much wall space.
Yeah, well, it's a petite place, really, Mario. So we've kind of ballooned out by a little bit, to be honest. So it's going to be a nice tight squeeze, which will just make it as a display. It'll be kind of very entertaining and diverse and. And we're looking at lots of different generations from even, some people that have passed away in that period. all the way through to quite young, you know, hot young artists who call the cafe home. So really it's about, you know, artists have had an enduring relationship with Mario's over the years, and kind of lively, hopefully, the look of it, yeah.
Do you think that kind of very established artistic community has any bearing on how the art's being kind of received by the audience that's engaging with it? Like, if you've got a group of people coming to see art in a space that they're always using and they're interacting with, and also artists producing art for a space that they are a part of, does that affect the art that's being produced and the way it's being received?
Possibly. Look, I think, you know, the thing about artists, it's kind of interesting. I'm on Solidarity Radio on The Breakfast Show because, you know, artists are kind of notoriously sort of individualistic and idiosyncratic. And I think, you know, often the exhibition experience is a chance for them to, you know, get out into the world, because often they're sort of alone in their studio and they're not organized in the same sense that, say, you know, other workers are organized. So it's kind of, it's to be honest, like, over the years, you know, Mario's has had, you know, a lot of amateur artists or artists who are part-time and have other jobs and things. So, you know, this is an opportunity for them, maybe people who are outside the gallery scene, you know, the more established gallery scene, to get a
part of it is that it connected to Raw Studios. I noticed that Raw Studios, and of course, anybody who had any connection to Brunswick Street throughout its earlier period when it revived, because, I mean, Brunswick Street's actually had many revisions. But from the 1980s revision, which is what we're talking about, Raw Studios was really important. It was up the road there.
They were a key group, and we've got, I think we've got six of the Raw Studios artists included, which is great, including a beautiful little painting by David Larwell, who's passed away, you know, a number of years ago, but was one of the leading lights of. So we've got a really exuberant, great picture by David. And Sarah Faulkner and Karen Heyman and Mark Housen, I'm going through the list here, Mike Nichols, Mark Charlotte. So, they were, you know, certainly when we think of Brunswick Street in the 1980s, we think of Mario's, we think of Baker's and Rumbarella's and Black Cat, and also Raw Studios and the galleries.
Yeah,
the galleries
that's exactly
that
right.
Yeah,
and so tell me, are you having an actual soiree to open the event, or is it just that people are going to go and buy their coffee and enjoy the view?
Well, this is the thing about kind of, it's always a bit of a melee at Mario's with openings, because they basically continue to run their service that evening.
Yeah, that's right, because they've got an eye on the ball.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Not going to miss an opportunity to sell a bolognese. We're going to do something on the 23rd of June, which is Tuesday week, and basically people are going to start dropping in around 5, 5.30, and then, you know, there'll be the normal people, patrons coming along, so it'll just be a bit of kind of a pleasant melee, I think, and people checking out what's on the wall and... you know, all very, convivial.
Yeah, it sounds really good. Thank you very much, Andrew, for getting up this morning on our Radiothon day and having a chat.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck with the Radiothon. It's fabulous.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah.
And yes, indeed, it is Radiothon. And Solidarity Breakfast can say that Kari has given us $10. Thank you very much, Kari. We are as happy as Larry, but we need more money to keep the station going and to keep the program going. We've got a target of $2,000. We've still got $1,720 to go. So get onto those phones.
Who do they call, Annie?
Who do they call? The Ghostbusters.
No, that is not the right answer.
No,
they call
1-9-8-3-7-7. We really need your moolah to keep us going.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
Only 3CR takes things that the other radio stations wouldn't even take a sniff at.
In early 1980, Dollar Brand visited Australia, and whilst he was here, he played a special benefit for 3CR in recognition of the station's role in fighting racism in South Africa.
So I think our role as broadcasters
was quite phenomenal in making those connections with people out there who probably had no other connections with other gay and lesbian people.
The station is unashamedly left-wing, and many of its programs stick in the throat of political conservatives.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
To donate, call 03 9419 8377, or donate online at 3cr.org.au.
Sounds like
a... And we're back. And we've got Marion on the line, who is a friend of the program. G'day, Marion. How are you?
I'm really good. Hi, Annie. Hi, Anila. Hi, Tobiah. How
Hi,
are you
Hi, Marion.
Good morning.
We're so excited to have you on.
Yeah, friend of the show. That's how you build on the ticket. And
Totally. You've got me in. You've reeled me in. With all that revolutionary optimism, you know, in a world of, you know, bullying and all these terrible things that we're hearing about. Yeah, your show really gives us a lift. And I particularly love that I'm able to speak with you after... the representation from the Palestine rally in Sydney. And see, that's just such a special thing. We can't be at the Palestine rally in Sydney, and you bring it to us, you know, regularly. It's just fantastic.
Yeah, I think it is too. And Vivian is a great hero of community radio, as far as I'm concerned.
As are you, Marion.
Yeah.
Because you've produced a lot of programs, but you also do a lot of stuff behind the scene. And actually, it's people like you that keep this radio station alive, and that's why it's important that we recognise you today as well.
Oh, thank you. So as that other guy said from the Palestine rally in Sydney, it's about money and people. So people, line your money up. So ring up the lovely producers there, and they'll take down your thing. Or for the shy people, there's a text line, or you can even go online.
You're doing our job for us, Marion.
Yeah, yeah. It's 3cr.org.au/donate.
Yeah,
that's
if
what
I
you
can do.
Do
it, you can do it. If I can do it, all the listeners can do it. I know you're out there.
I have to say, one of my favourite things about 3CR is that it's unusual in this day and age to have a community space where you've got regular faces, regular people popping up, and you've got people just being together without really needing a reason to be in the same space with
each
other. And I think, Marion, that's one of my favourite contributions that you make to 3CR, is being a lovely, friendly face around the 3CR studios.
Aww,
and,
thank
you. cannot be overstated the importance of having these community third spaces like 3CR that bring people together.
You're funny you should say that, because when I was doing training a couple of training episodes ago, some young people from university age students, people were doing training, and one of the young women said exactly what you just said. She said, oh, you know, like, I was wondering if it'd be any good, but now that I'm here, I actually got to meet people.
It's real people doing things together. That's beautiful.
Yeah, we need it, don't we?
What do you find valuable about 3CR, Marion? Why do you keep showing up?
I really love 3CR for what you do for me. Because I like hanging out in the kitchen too. But also, you know, we've got unfunded grassroots campaigns. So I just wanted to run up this one, which you've given lots of interviews to, lots of time to, which is the campaign against waste incinerators. So in a climate emergency, some companies have decided that burning rubbish will make them some money.
Yeah, and they've rebadged it. What have they rebadged it as?
Waste to energy.
Yeah.
So magically, despite all the laws of chemistry and physics, the waste gets turned into energy. Not poison. Not carbon dioxide. So, so that's an unfunded, like, it's just us. It's just our energy. And you being able to get on 3CR and talk it up together with the other leaders in that community campaign is really, really meaningful. It gives us, you know, that oomph to keep going. Another great one that I love hearing about is the campaign to save public housing.
Yep.
Because, again, you know, tearing down the towers. Yeah, so that's it. Those are the things that I really like about 3CR.
You know, the thing about, there was a good news story regarding the incinerator rubbish. Fijians, the Australian, I suppose it was Cleanaway, wanted to set up a was asking the Fijians to open it up and try, you know, do it there so that they could offload Australian rubbish to Fiji. And the environment minister in Fiji said, piss off, it doesn't add up.
Yeah, that's colonialism writ large. Yeah, so they've told them not to do it. And, yeah, so we've been able to get some meetings and hopefully, you know, try and build the campaign. So anyone listening, want to connect with No Northern Incinerator Alert or the statewide campaign, Victorian Anti-Incinerator Alliance. So we're trying to get a voice for Victoria about it. Thanks.
Thanks very much. And are you going to donate to Solidarity Breakfast?
Am I going to
donate to Solidarity Breakfast?
Of course I will. I'm pledging $100.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Solidarity Breakfast, and hope you make your target, and everybody else should do the same.
Thanks very much.
Thanks Marion.
Yay! 3CR celebrating 50 years.
Here we are, we're all in the middle of the desert and there's such a feeling of optimism. It's fantastic and everyone really knows what they're doing and is very quietly determined and yet having a good time at the same time.
The cheers are going up now as three parachutists jump out of a plane right above the Honeymoon uranium mine site.
The hundreds of thousands of people have been marching around the streets of Melbourne this afternoon are now heading off to the Domain. So if you're at home and you've been enjoying the coverage but you still feel like being part of it, you certainly can. Just go on down there to the Domain where there'll be speeches and music and
3CR.
And 3CR. Always carry your tranny along with you so that you can hear what's going on.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
To donate, call 03 9419 8377 or donate online at 3cr.org.au.
Is it you, Kevin?
I'm here I am.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear you live.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Marion was talking about all the things on 3CR she likes. I think there's only one thing about 3CR that I don't like.
All right, you provocateur.
It's Radiothon. I loathe it with a passion. I couldn't believe Anila started the program saying how excited she was. I thought, I don't get excited, I just go into a shell.
Someone has to be, Kevin.
Yeah, we've got to be positive. And Raya's just put $20 in, so that's great too.
But seriously, I mean, I am being serious now. I think socialism today is out the door. Elon Musk is right. It's all about money, 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 and that's it. So we just have to get money, money, money. Keep going. But
Elon Musk. I mean, there's a whole range of people that really have outlived their usefulness, really.
He's the first trillionaire. It's wonderful to know. Congratulations. He wants to actually, I think mainly because he wants to go out and find other planets to stuff up. Having stuffed up this planet so badly, they want to go out into space and stuff up a few more.
I think that's a really good reminder, Kevin, of why donating is so important, because that's what 3CR is up against, people who have literally unlimited resources. Today we're asking for pennies comparatively. So get on board, get involved in Radiothon so that we can push back against someone like Elon Musk.
And send us a message, because even Raya sent us that Solidarity Breakfast to Raya is good, serious journalism every Saturday morning. And yay. Kevin, you're a part of that because you play an integral role. We've had people call us angry that we've maybe delayed.
I would have thought it would be the opposite, angry that it comes on.
No. I think there was one week where the week that wasn't played and there were lots of very, very upset and concerned citizens.
Yeah. Poor dears, that's right. Yeah, but look, I've been around, because I was actually the Fitzroy Council spokesperson on the freeway campaign when 3CR opened 50 years ago. I've virtually been around since it opened. And then got involved with the Saturday morning program with Bill, this time slot, Par Avion, which was Bill Hartley's program at this time.
That was when we were seriously terrorism radio.
Well, that's right. And then this work that was started up 43 years ago, and the same running joke now, it goes on 43 years later.
It's a bit disturbing, isn't it?
It is. It shows your age. But also, in the early days, the radiothons were incredibly important, because without them, and it's still the same, but slightly better now. But without the radiothon, even though I say I loathe it, it's a necessary evil, because without it, 3CR couldn't go on. And, you know, I think we all know the reasons why we are so different to other stations. So, although I think we should start having programs like... Married at First Sight, and that's a thing on air.
Dating show. That's a good
shows
idea.
Shows that really test the intelligence of the listener. I saw a promo watching the footy the other night, and there's a promo for one of those sort of programs, and a woman said, "I've struggled all my life with people being jealous of me," and I thought,
"Oh my God!"
I thought, "What a modest little person that is." Now, that's the sort of program we should get on 3CR, surely. Yes.
That's a mental health issue, isn't it?
I thought so.
I think leave that one up to the professionals, Annie.
Anyone watching those programs would end up with a mental health issue.
Kevin, I also wanted to say, like, the other thing that I see you contributing a lot to is going along to protests and emceeing protests and things like that. And I was wondering what you think of the relationship between 3CR programs like Solidarity Breakfast and the grassroots movements happening in Melbourne and the protest movements happening in Melbourne. How do those two things fit together?
Oh, it's truly important. I mean, it's all these programs, but the fact that 3CR goes out, and Annie does a lot of this work, of course, and Karina go out and record these protests and record the rallies, and we get them to air. I mean, if I miss a rally, which I don't often miss, but nonetheless, if I miss a rally, I often hear the speeches then afterwards on 3CR, and they're so wonderful. And, that's just a critical role to play, and it also keeps people up to date. Now, interesting, there were banners around Melbourne promoting the Moonee Ponds protest last night. And yet, you turn on the news and discover it was South Melbourne, whoever the bloody thing was. But what I found fascinating about that was that all the people, Pauline claimed it was because the other place was overflowing. They needed to go to a bigger venue. But all those people who were overflowing knew where to go, as did the coppers, as did the media. But then, given she's running a campaign against lying, she wouldn't be lying, would she? She also said she knew nothing about the protest whatever at all.
Yeah, well, there we go. Pants on fire.
That's right. And, of course, it's, as one of you said earlier on the program, the Herald Sun and the media are giving her sort of almost equal status and talking about her in serious terms, whereas we need to talk about her as the danger she really is to our society.
Well, as they say, if you look at her record, you don't have to not like her. If you look at her actual record in Parliament, she has voted seriously against the interests of working class people in Australia on a consistent basis.
Absolutely, and they're the people she's claiming to now represent. So if she represents them, and the working people are going to go right down the gurgler with who she is saying it.
Be careful what you wish for.
That's right, very much so. Yeah. Now, the only other one I want to mention this week, I thought there was a lovely line. It was one of the religion programs on the ABC, and they were debating at length how come at Donald Trump rallies, and I wasn't aware of this, but they always play apparently an evangelical hymn called How Great Is Our God. But what they didn't talk about, the only thing they missed was, well, I would have thought the reason they play it is he probably thinks he is.
Yeah, that's right. It's a bit like, that's just a circular thing. It's gone back to the woman who was lived her life fending off the jealousy of other people.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. So I think they missed the point. But 3CR doesn't miss the point. We do give out, and on a serious note, we cover, we also give what you might call minority groups a big say on 3CR as well. That's the important thing. And, you know, we have Indigenous programs. We have programs for gay and lesbian people. We have all sorts of programs that you don't get anywhere else. It's simple as that.
And gives people the opportunity to see things from different points of view, which is really important.
Yeah.
Thanks very much for getting up live
this
morning. Are you going to donate to us?
No, I'm donating to City Limits.
Okay, mate. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye now.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
In 1974, a report to the Whitlam government found that a large number of new radio stations could be accommodated in Australia with few technical problems. In June of that year, groups and individuals who were aware of public broadcasting overseas got together at the Pram Factory in Carlton. The Community Radio Federation developed out of that meeting. A new Melbourne licence was advertised in January 1975, and the Community Radio Federation applied for it. Following hearings in mid-1975, Dr. Moss Cass awarded the licence to the Community Radio Federation ahead of 11 other applicants. On October the 10th, just 1 month before the Whitlam government was sacked.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
To donate, call 03 9419 8377 or donate online at 3cr.org.au.
And you're back with Annie Tobia and Anila on this Radiothon show, and we've got Ahmad on the line from the Wollongong Friends of Palestine, and you're going to be doing a picket at Biz Alloy starting on Sunday. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, that's correct. Tomorrow evening at about 8 p.m. we'll be kicking off formally and hoping to hold the picket for about 72 hours, so three consecutive days of shutting down Biz Alloy in Wollongong.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, of course, this follows up from a picket that you did in February.
Yeah. So we did, the last one was in February, and tomorrow's picket is actually our 10th one now. So we've been going at Biz Alloy for quite a while now, and we intend to keep going. So this picket that we're doing tomorrow will be our longest picket to date.
And tell our listeners where Biz Alloy Steel fits.
Yeah, so Biz Alloy is in a... it's in a suburb called Unanderra in Wollongong, so it's only actually 5 minutes from where I live. And what Biz Alloy do is they produce this type of high-strength tempered steel plate that gets put on, you know, armoured vehicles like tanks. And so the so-called Israeli military uses this steel on their tanks, and it provides them extra protection, lightweight, just makes them perform better. And Biz Alloy happens to be the only producer in Australia of that steel. So, you know, Australia and businesses in Australia are playing their role, and Biz Alloy is one of those companies that's definitely playing a role in the crimes we're seeing overseas.
And they've got a quite considerable connection to the issue of genocide in Israel, so-called Israel, by its connections with German arms manufacturer Rheinmetall. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think it's important to understand that when we identify, you know, certain companies for their involvement in the genocide in Palestine and the war crimes that we're seeing in Lebanon or in other parts of the region, these companies aren't acting alone. They're part of a global supply chain where all of the components that all these different companies produce come together to form these, you know, these killing machines that we're seeing carrying out the destruction and the killing and the slaughter that we're seeing every day that's still ongoing.
Biz Alloy's exports to Israel are in contravention of the UN Arms Trade Treaty, isn't it? Where does that place Australia in general?
So it's definitely a contravention. It's not just that. It's in 2024 we had the International Court of Justice handed down its preliminary findings of the genocide in Palestine, as well as its advisory opinion for Israel's occupation of, you know, East Jerusalem, West Bank and the Gaza Strip as well. And both of those findings, or both of those statements from the ICJ, both said that, you know, countries in the around the world should not be aiding and abetting the occupation or aiding and abetting the crimes that we're seeing in Palestine. So by Australia allowing, you know, companies like Bisalloy to continue exporting materials that go directly into killing machines, we're playing our part, and we're definitely in contravention of those findings, and we're definitely in contravention of other, you know, conventions that, that state, look, you're seeing, you know, what is clearly a genocide, and doesn't have to be, you know, formally found to be a genocide in order for it to be a genocide. You should play your role by not aiding and abetting.
Something else I thought was pretty interesting, one of your friends from Wollongong, Friends of Palestine, Safa Ryan, has pointed out that Bisalloy actually only, these exports actually only constitute 1.9% of Bisalloy's profits. So it seems as though there maybe is a more ideological rather than financially driven relationship between Bisalloy and what's going on in Israel-Palestine. Could you talk about why they would be so resistant to giving up such a small, relatively small part of their business?
Yeah, it definitely does make you scratch your head. There could be some ideological drivers behind it, but it could also be other connections that they have with other buyers of their product. So if they're pulling out of one market, it might affect some of their other markets. But, you know, while we're doing these pickets and while we're organising, we're not thinking about the monetary impact. We're thinking about the cost of human life and the fact that, you know, we're playing a role. And like I said, all this manufacturing is only happening 5 minutes away from where I put my head down to sleep every night. So it does make you want to get up and do something about it. So I'll leave it to the bosses at Bisalloy to speak for their actions. I think they're reprehensible. They've been aware of what's been happening for several years now.
But I think it's also, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I think it's worth pointing out how depraved this comes across, that you're prepared to prioritise 1.9% of your profits over the lives of an entire community.
No, but David Belkin, who's the CEO, the chairman of Bisalloy, says he's very proud of their two-decade-long relationship with several leading Israeli companies. And also there's a broader issue here too, isn't there? Because they are also knee-deep in the militarisation of the Australian economy with their connection with the AUKUS deal.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think, Bisalloy is just one company that openly states how proud they are of the partnerships they have with regimes like the so-called Israeli regime and the crimes that they're committing, even despite the overwhelming weight of evidence that you see, all the footage, all the destruction, for them to still be coming out and speak of their pride in what they're contributing to. You know, we're kind of at a point where it's like, who are we? Are we appealing to, you know, the morals of people who do not have morals? That's basically what we're dealing with right now. So that's why we've come down to, you know, do direct action. You know, you have to shut down business. You can't speak to people who simply don't care. They don't care, and they view their bottom line as small as it might be. You're saying this 1.9%, it is small, but they think that that's more important than doing what's morally just and not playing a part in the genocide. So I don't have any nice words I can say about them, and their ideological motives are, you know, reprehensible to say the least.
And I'm just wondering, just because it's our Radiothon episode, just, and also I've seen you write for Deep Cut as well, just how important the aspect of independent media in this media landscape is, and why it's important to support independent media, but also be part of the community that supports it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a Lebanese man, and you know, where I come from right now has been ethnically cleansed by Zionists, and my village where my family comes from is entirely destroyed. And I look at the media around me here in Australia, and they just don't cover it, and it's deliberate. You know, you look at their editors and the editorial decisions that they're making. They deliberately do not cover these crimes, and when they do, they downplay it. They play the Israeli perspective. They make the people, the indigenous people of the land, be they in Lebanon or Palestine, make them out to be terrorists for defending their land, for fighting against occupation and colonization. And that's that kind of just makes you feel like you're living in an upside down world. So it's really refreshing to see, especially in the past couple of years, this growth in independent media like Deep Cut, News, who are saying, you know what, we're fed up with seeing the way the media is treating this issue and several other issues, mind you, as well. It's not just the genocide. It's all these other issues that affect everyday people that mainstream media simply don't cover. So it's incredibly important for people out there to, you know, if you can, if you have the means, subscribe to these independent organisations, because the work they're doing is highlighting a lot of the crimes and a lot of the secrets that the government here and the media here and institutions and businesses like Bisaloy don't want the community to know about.
Thank you very much, Ahmad, and good luck with this picket, and we'll be following you up to find out how it went. Or if you've got any audio, send it down and we'll play it.
I will do. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Shukran, brother.
Thank you.
Pledge now, pay later. Did you know that you can pledge your support to 3CR Radiothon now and pay up later? Call the station during business hours on 9419 8377 and tell us what you'd like to donate, and then pay your donation later.
3CR, celebrating 50 years.
And you heard it from the voice there themselves, supporting 50 years of Radical Radio. And we've been reporting on Palestine since the very start of the radio, and it's why they've been trying to get us, and they still haven't got us yet. Thank you, Georgie Stubbs, for the $50, saying thanks to Annie for always amazing work to start Saturday mornings.
And we've got Victorio on the line.
Good morning.
Hey, buongiorno. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Love listening to you guys. I just have to say, listening to all the callers calling in, you couldn't get better reasons to donate to 3CR.
And that's right, and you've been digging through the archives, and so you've been hearing the voices from the past and just how integral a part of the media environment 3CR has been for radicals and radical radio in general here and around the world.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, look, Australia's got one of the most concentrated media in the hands of the very few rich and powerful, and it's stations like 3CR that push back on that. And I have been going through the archives, and quite a few other people have too, because it's 50 years for 3CR this year, but there's a few programs that are also celebrating some milestones, like the Concrete Gang has been broadcasting non-stop since day one.
That's right.
Women on the Line are 40 years.
Yep.
I think next year, Raising Our Voices is going to be doing their 40-year anniversary. And I just, because I do the Radio Philef show with Tobia, and whenever I come in, because they're Raising Our Voices is just before us. It's such a G-up hearing them, one of the best shows.
Yeah, and that's important, like just how much community is between the programs here, but also between people, because you won't find another community and another community radio just like 3CR. And that's an important part that all the listeners can be part of, because even you were once part of the outside and now you've come inside, like me, like Anila.
Yeah. Yeah, just the ease it is to access training, to get on air, to meet people, to connect. I think it's easy to fall into a kind of pessimistic view about the world, and you can't blame people for that. But we've got to keep that optimism of the will, to quote Antonio Gramsci, or as Solidarity Breakfast says, revolutionary optimism.
You know, it's actually about agency, and I was going to say that learning how to be get a voice on radio. I mean, you're a relatively shy person, really, Victorio. But once you've got onto the radio, you've found a voice, haven't you? I mean, I know that you do. You know, you work. You know, you. I don't want to overstate that your shyness, but what I mean is that there's a difference between having things to say and then finding a place to actually say them.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, on a personal level, not so shy, but it's not easy, you know, starting out speaking live on air. But very quickly, you learn that you have a voice, and I got to give a shout out to the trainers for this, which is another reason to donate, because 3CR offers very high quality training to volunteers, and the way that they show us how to use the microphones, speak live on air, find your own voice, it's just incredible.
And it's an incredible resource for the community, but also something that we've had experience with in Radio Philef in bringing up some of the younger women in our organisation who have since found their voices in an incredible way.
Yeah, like Hannah and Stella, who's been on quite a few episodes now. It's just, yeah.
And it's growing, yeah. and that's thanks to all the behind-the-scenes crew. Like, we have the mother-daughter team behind us keeping everything running, Karina and Pilar, and we wouldn't be anywhere without them. And we thank all the beautiful people that are part of this community radio, and you as well, Vittoria, doing the incredible work that you've done in the last year on Radio Philef. And now congratulations for becoming part of the committee.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
And that's just
another thing to add. You can get involved. Just, you know, come down, volunteer. You know, if you can't donate, because it is pretty hard to find the money to donate sometimes, you can volunteer and offer in other ways. And volunteering is one way to get involved in the station. I mean, the station's owned by the people. It's owned by the subscriber members, the affiliate organizations. And sometimes, you know, we might forget that, but it's the community's radio station.
Thanks for talking to us this morning.
Did you know that each donation over $2 you make to 3CR's Radiothon is tax deductible? That means that when you're doing your tax return business, you can claim your 3CR donation as a legitimate tax deduction. To make a pledge to this year's Radiothon, call the station on 9419 8377 or donate online at 3cr.org.au/donate.
3CR celebrating 50 years.
And that's true about people finding their voice. So when I go to the rallies and you do Vox Pop, quite often you'll find people go, oh, you know, no, I don't have anything to say. And then they realise they actually do have something to say.
And I think that's to your point about agency as well, Annie. I think it's pretty widespread opinion in the general community that the world is not functioning very well right now. And I think there's also a general sense of hopelessness about that fact.
I think that the powers that be would encourage the sense of hopelessness, and the fact that notion that the only alternative is to blow everything up and vote for a right-wing nutter is the answer, because the two main contenders are not to be trusted, or there's very little difference between the both of them. And interestingly enough, the mainstream and the people that they're applying to don't consider that the Greens are a potential alternative, which is interesting. That means that the mainstream media sees the Greens as a threat, I presume.
But also beyond kind of organised politics, I think 3CR provides an opportunity to exercise that agency, exercise your power as an individual to engage in a political community by doing things like potentially donating to today's show. yeah. But also things like listening. That's a massive contribution, to be listening to the shows that 3CR produces and to come in to say hello, to volunteer. So I think maybe a nice reminder today on our Radiothon day, when we're reflecting on all of the amazing work that 3CR does, to think about the fact if you're at a loss for something to do, to kind of confront the bleakness of our day-to-day lives and the broader kind of economic and political climate that we found ourselves in, this is something to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Victoria has donated $40.
And has done something to structurally elevate the radio station.
And on the line we've got a regular, Don Sutherland. How are you, Don?
I'm great, Andy. How are you both? I hope you're well.
Very well.
Very well.
And how's things down in cold Tasmania?
Cold and wet right now.
Sounds about right. Sounds like Tasmania.
rather bleak outside, to capture one of the words that you were using about the way the world is at the moment.
and just what a wonderful thing we have with community radio in general, and especially 3CR. And so I'll be putting my two bob's worth in the next few days, because really, 3CR is the, not just the antidote, but the antithesis of commercial and for-profit broadcasting.
And it's how we're going to topple these paper emperors, right, Don?
One day that's what is going to happen. And the antithesis must be developed so it becomes the thesis. And one day that will happen.
Yeah, well, you know, there's things that are, you identify the problem and then you need solutions. And part of the solution is actually working together in a community. And you can't say that a community radio station that's lasted for 50 years and is intending to last for another 50 years hasn't got some ingredients of the solution about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And we do desperately need it. And there are so many occasions when during my somehow busy week, I somehow contrived to remain busy and active politically. I think, oh, should you go and listen to that radio program on 3CR and just see what they're saying about this, because I really don't know enough about this. And so it's a constant, reference point. And I love this show in particular, not just because I contribute to it from time to time, but because I think it is, again, a synthesis of much that has been happening during the week and much what is going to happen in the week ahead. And so congratulations to all three of you, and also the team around you that makes it all possible.
Thanks, Don. I'm going to cut you off for a second, Don, and you can give us our praises in a second, because I'd like to hear a bit more about, you've just mentioned that you contribute to the show. What have you gotten out of contributing to the show?
Well, it makes me think through the raggedness of my thinking and activity and try and put some structure into it. And not just structure, but a sort of an orientation that is clearer, to distill all of the noise that's happening around me, some of which I make myself, as everyone knows, and turn that into something more complete, more with a clearer direction. And so a good example is the last one that we did, which is forced me to start thinking through just what is the real alternative to the rise of Hansenism in Australia. And I won't go over what I said, but since then I've been taking that further, and I hit upon, and this is, I think, really helpful, and I'm getting a really good response from this, and that is, about 25 years ago, there was talk about how we were entering a barbaric age. Well, I think we can now talk about the fact that the USA has placed us into it with its genocide in Palestine, or attempted, and also with what it is doing in a less dramatic way, perhaps, but no less powerful, of a genocidal character, with the suffocation, the slow suffocation of the Cuban people. And so we are now living that which we wondered about 25 years ago. And that, for me, distilled it, thinking about that and what I might say about that in a radio context helps me to distill. I'm not very good at distilling, as Annie has often pointed out.
I said, get a wriggle on. Come on, hurry up.
But actually, I think that when you do get to your point, it is actually a really salient point, and it's an actual amazing contribution that you give to the program, and it's one that we often get a lot of great feedback about. So just to shout you out as well and give you a bit of warmth all the way down there in cold Tasmania.
I think now also, Don, that we've butted you up, I think it's time for you to give us our praises again.
I'll give you your praises again. Well, I think the best thing I can say about 3CR is that it hums with potential. It's not just what it is in the present. It's what is going to happen with it as it thrives and continues, and what contribution it can make to actually marching on into a much better society, so that we're not just critiquing the one we're in, but we're using that critique to marshal all the forces.
And to build a better one.
That can be a centre point, helping to marshal all of the forces that want a much better society.
Thank you very much for talking to us this morning, and thanks for your contribution, Don.
It's lovely to be with you, and my check's in the mail, so to speak.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
All the best. Bye.
Yeah, we've come to the end of the program. If you're thinking of donating, we'd love it. You can still donate any time during June. You should give us a call, and you can do it now, 94198377, and donate to Solidarity Breakfast or any of the ones that are shows that you
but
love.
But more importantly,
to.
Solidarity Breakfast. And you can also go to 3cr.org.au/donate. And you can allocate the show, and you make sure you write in big caps lock, Solidarity Breakfast, and thanks to Annie McLaughlin for all the amazing work she does, because Anila and I wouldn't be the presenters that we are without the incomparable work that Annie does. So thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to Annie for training us, and thanks to all the team that makes 3CR possible.
And Asia Pacific Currents is going to come along and ask you for some money as well. But you see, Asia Pacific Currents is such a great program. I'm sure it has no problem filling its coffers. We're going to go out with this wonderful person, Alice Skye. Everything is great.
Just how this will end. Everything is great until it's not. Everything is great until it stops. Till it stops. And if it's not you, it's someone else you see. So I definitely shouldn't let you bother me. I don't want more, I just wanna be. I don't want more, I just wanna be enough. Please tell me what the fuck we're doing. I don't know if I should be moving on. Am I lonely or do I really love you? Am I lonely or do I love you? Talking on the phone again, you say, hey man, just like we're friends. You keep me safe and warm, I wish you wouldn't. You keep me safe and warm, just like he could. I really
Hello, welcome to the Voice of West Papua. My name is Gibson Su. For generations, the people of West Papua have carried stories of culture, resilience, music, language, and community. Stories that deserve to be heard. The Voice of West Papua Radio exists to share those stories, connect communities, and create a platform where West Papuan voices can reach audiences across Australia and beyond. We are proud to acknowledge Tricia Community Radio, our biggest sponsor and supporter, whose commitment to independent media and community broadcasting helps make this program possible. Please donate to Radio Zone to keep the spirit and the voices of West Papua on air every Tuesday at 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thank you.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.